We are broadcasting.
Okay, thank you. Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue to order. It is today, January 27th, 2021, and we will start by opening an informational meeting and a public hearing on Senate Bill 164. So we will start by calling LRO to give us a background on the corporate activity tax.
Madam Chair, if I could interject, did you want to do a roll call?
Oh, that's right. I always forget that. So let's do a roll call.
Senator Findley.
Senator Findley, present by video.
Senator Riley.
Present by video.
Senator Wagner.
Present by video.
Vice Chair Boquist.
Present by telephone.
Madam Chair Burdick.
Present by video. And I promise this will be the last time I make that mistake. So I will reopen an informational meeting and a public hearing on Senate Bill 164 and call on Legislative Revenue Office.
Great. So Madam Chair and members of the committee, for the record, I am Caitlin Harger. I work in the Legislative Revenue Office, and I'm going to provide a very brief overview of the corporate activity tax. I'm working on sharing my screen now. And I will go through basically the major parameters or categories that relate to this tax. And then my last slide will talk about the bill, since we are in an informational and public hearing. And I can go through section by section what those changes are. So the corporate activities tax was passed recently within the Oregon legislature. There are some parameters here that, again, this is a high-level overview, so I'll go through each one. First, it defines commercial activity as the total amount realized by a person arising from transactions in the regular course of their trade or business. The commercial activities tax is a modified gross receipts tax, is how I would describe it. And so that means we're looking at how many sales an individual makes or a company makes. And so this definition defines which of those sales are taxable under this tax. The rate is 0.57%. I've also written it out in decimal fully, just to be very clear. The threshold at which you have to begin paying the tax is at $1 million in commercial activity. The tax then becomes $250 plus that rate I mentioned earlier, the 0.57% of all of your commercial activity above $1 million. There is a subtraction that's included as part of this, and it's a 35% subtraction for either your cost of goods sold or employee labor costs. There are some specific exclusions, namely groceries, both retail and wholesale, and fuel. And then also there was a special exclusion that gives a 15% subtraction or deduction to builders of single family residential homes related to their subcontractor labor costs. The corporate activities tax took effect January 1, 2020. And that's kind of a brief overview of the main important factors when we're discussing this policy. And now what I'll do is describe the bill that the public hearing is on today. This is Senate Bill 164. And it makes some small adjustments to the language that I think clarify intent that was present before. And I've bolded those in this slide. But the focus is, so in section one, there's language that clarifies that the exchange of new vehicles between motor vehicle dealerships that are franchised does not count as commercial activity. This is something that was discussed in the legislature when this was being passed. If a dealership is just transferring cars between two places, we wouldn't think of that as an actual sale, but it might show up as a sale somewhere. So we're trying to clarify that that's not commercial activity that will be taxed. And then secondly, part of the initial corporate activities tax policy framework was to exempt groceries. And the second part of this kind of technical fix is to clarify that if there is a consignment store that is selling groceries, they are also exempt from paying the tax on those groceries. And so the wording in the bill, we're still kind of identifying and clarifying if it gets us completely there, but the intent is just to clarify that in these specific cases of vehicle transfer and groceries, that these things are exempt, as that was the intent of the bill. And the applicability date would be tax years beginning on or after January 1, 2022. And this would take effect on the 91st day following adjournment, sine die. And that's all the information that I have. So I will unshare my screen.
Thank you very much. Senator Riley, you had a question.
Yes, on the first screen, that the subtraction, it says 35% of either. And is that the choice, or is it, it's a choice, not a combination?
Yes, Senator Burdick and Senator Riley, that is a choice. So each individual taxpayer can file based on that option.
Thank you.
Okay, do we have other questions before we move into the bill? Okay, Chris, why don't you, Chris or Kyle, why don't you give us a summary of Senate Bill 164?
I am happy to summarize that. Senator Fenley, did you have a question before I go into that?
I did. Thank you. I raised my wrong hand. I raised my own hand instead of on the screen. Thank you. I have a question on the staff summary measure. It's a little, it says applies to tax years beginning after January 1st, 2022. Mm-hmm. And it takes effect the 91st day following the adjournment or sine die. So those two dates aren't the same. Is that, does that make sense? Is it, shouldn't it not be, instead of 91st day, it should be January 1st, 2022?
So if I ask Chris to add a little more detail here, but I believe January 1st, 2022 is the applicability date, but it goes into effect or becomes law on the 91st day following adjournment, sine die. Chris, is that accurate?
That's correct. That's correct. The bill becomes law on the 91st day. But the provisions of the bill become effective January 1, 2022. And for the revenue committees, just about every bill you're going to see has that 91st day effective. We can't have emergency clauses for tax bills, and that is to give citizens a chance to refer it. So on the 91st day, which is give or take October 1st for the long sessions, that if it were passed as written today, it would become law on October 1st, 2021. But the actual provisions of these refinements would first take effect for tax year 22.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for that summary, Caitlin. I'm sorry I messed up the LRO economist here. So we will move now into the public hearing on Senate Bill 164. And now, Caitlin, you can summarize that.
Thank you, Chair Burdick. Briefly, Senate Bill 164 makes some modifications to the corporate activity tax. Specifically, it clarifies that the exchange of new vehicles between franchise motor vehicle dealerships does not count as commercial activity. It also clarifies that groceries being sold by a consignment store operator are not counted as commercial activity, in line with the groceries exemption already in place. And as I mentioned, it applies to tax years beginning on or after January 1st, 2022, and it takes effect 91 days following adjournment 90 day.
Okay, thank you. Senator Finley, you have your hand up again.
I do, and I lifted the correct one this time. Thank you. So I'm not sure when the proper time to have this discussion, so I'm just going to have it now. Is it, I've been approached by my local pharmacies that the cat tax they pay and is extremely troublesome for them. One is they're given precise measures of what they pay for their drugs, and they're given precise measures on what they can charge for those drugs, and they have to absorb the cat. And I don't think that was ever the intent of the cat. I mean, the intent was we provided the provision to allow them to add it on there, but with all the reimbursement procedures of Medicare, Medicaid, and all the rest of the insurance companies, they say they direct the specific tax that a pharmacy may charge. And if I recall, several pharmacies in the Portland area at Bi-Mart shuttered their pharmacy section because of the CAT issues. I guess I would like to just have a discussion at some point. It looks like it'd be very easy in this bill to add another line in there to exempt pharmacies and prescriptions that are mandated by their cost and their both incoming and outgoing cost. So I was wondering if we could want to have a discussion about that. I'd be happy to support an amendment to do that for this bill.
Well, we will be we'll be holding this bill under our policy of waiting some time between the public hearings and the work sessions. So there will be opportunities to consider amendments when we get to the point of working the bill. And I suspect this won't be the last one that we'll see. But the bill is in front of us. Okay, Senator Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Having been a car salesman at one point for a new car dealer, I know that sometimes we also transferred used cars. And they could show up, but that same situation could occur. And this specifically says new cars. Is that a situation that we should be looking at?
Senator Riley and Chair Burdick, thank you for the question. I believe that situation may already be dealt with existing language. But I can double check and see. There is a provision that this is adding to that talks about the transfer of motor vehicles between car dealerships due to consumer demand. But I will check about that language and make sure that the used car provision is covered.
Thank you.
And if not, I'll inform the committee, of course.
Okay, now we'll move into our witnesses. We have Exxon Culver and Marjorie Taylor from the Oregon Department of Revenue. And could you each please introduce yourself right at the beginning and so that your picture will show up on our technology, and then introduce yourself again as you start to speak. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Burdick. I'm Marjorie Taylor from the Department of Revenue.
And I'm Exxon Culver with the Oregon Department of Revenue.
Okay, thank you. Proceed.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Marjorie Taylor, the legislative director for the Department of Revenue. And as you heard, since 2019, the agency has had the opportunity to implement the corporate activity tax. And along the way, we have identified some opportunities for some enhancements. And with me today, we have Exxon Culver, who is our CAT policy director, who can outline some of those opportunities as we've provided in our written testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Marjorie. Chair Burdick and members of the committee, I'm Exxon Culver with the Oregon Department of Revenue. First, I would like to share that the department can implement the modifications in Senate Bill 164 during our normal course of preparing for the next tax filing season. I would also like to take this opportunity to bring your attention to some additional technical issues in the administration of the CAT. A list of these issues is posted on OLIS for your consideration, so I'll just briefly describe them. During the first special session, House Bill 4202 modified the underpayment penalty provisions and treats taxpayers differently based on when they file returns for the 2020 and 2021 tax years. Some taxpayers are required to pay at least 80% of the required estimated payments, and others are required to pay 90%, just depending on when they file that return. The bill also added explicit application of failure to file penalties, and this additional language blurs the application of other standard tax administration penalties and would be clearer if the language were repealed. And we have a couple of concerns outstanding from the original legislation, and those are that taxpayers of a closed or sold business are required to file a final tax return within 45 days of the closure or sale. This is inconsistent with other annual tax programs, and it creates a burden for taxpayers to comply. Finally, there is an exclusion for net revenue of residential care facilities or in-home care agencies but it's not clear what net revenue is because the CAT is based on receipts. I want to thank you for the opportunity to present these issues for your consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. And before we go to questions, please, everyone on the committee and other people who are in the participants, remember to mute yourself when you're not speaking. There was a little background noise last time. So are there questions? Okay, thank you very much. And now we will call into the process Bill Perry and Bennett Minton. And again, well, actually, we'll take Bill Perry first, and then we'll take Bennett Minton after that. So, Bill.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Bill Perry. I'm representing the Oregon Automobile Dealers Association, and I appreciate you bringing up Senate Bill 164. This is an issue that basically we tried to get fixed a couple of times, but for different reasons, it's got sidetracked. So, yeah, the unique thing, and I will address kind of Senator Riley's question, the unique thing in the industry is that paper will transfer with a car sales, but until we actually sell the car to a consumer, we don't pay for it, we pay interest. So when we're transferring cars from dealer to dealer, there isn't an actual sale that exists between the dealer. And so this is obviously solving that problem because it's not actually a sale, but the law doesn't includes it as a sale because of the paper trail. In Senator Riley's example, and I will say that I don't think it'll be anybody's surprise that Caitlin is probably much smarter than I am, but I will say this, is that originally the way the amendment was written, it was to include all sales between dealer to dealer. There was an objection by a House member that they didn't want used members or used cars included. So I'm not sure if it was just outside of that one House member, but we just wanted the fix done. So it was kind of limited to new cars for that example. So originally we would have liked to seen, I think, the example that Senator Riley was referring to. But at this point in time, you know, if as long as we can get this remedy, that would be acceptable to us. And obviously the other section in the last part of the bill referring to lease, the current law kind of said you almost have to count the entire value of the vehicle, even though a lease will be less expensive than the value. So it corrects that issue also. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, are there questions of Mr. Perry? So Bill, what I'm hearing you saying is that you would rather have this go through just for new cars and not and to leave used cars out?
Yeah, I mean, there were objections, obviously, and I don't know how if it was one person or multiples. So this is the bigger issue. This is probably, you know, I'm kind of pulling a number out of a hat, but it's probably 90 to 95%. The used car transactions between dealers isn't quite as high, so it's less of a problem.
Okay, thank you. Are there other questions from the committee? All right, thank you very much. Then we'll call on Bennett Minton from Tax Fairness Oregon.
Madam Chair, can you hear me?
I can.
Ah, great. Members of the committee, my name is Bennett Minton. And as the chair says, I'm on behalf of Tax Fairness Oregon, a network of volunteers who support a rational and equitable tax code. SB 164 appears to allow logical extensions of the exceptions to the corporate activity tax that the legislature designed, and we have no objection to it. We do want to point out that we are concerned about other bills that would undermine the tax regime and shortchange the purposes for which it was enacted. We're putting you on notice that we will oppose measures that would create loopholes in the CAT, and based on experience, it will be an ongoing task to counter both those who cry that their idea is justified and those who seek the CAT's death by a thousand cuts. Thank you.
Thank you. And while you're here, did you have any reaction to Senator Finley's comments about the pharmacies?
I think that I'm not an expert in that. I have heard about their general concerns about the application to pharmacies. All I can say at this point is that we would be very concerned about those kinds of broad exceptions, notwithstanding the concerns that Senator Fenley identified.
Okay. Are there other questions from the committee? Okay. I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 164. Yes, Senator Boquist.
I'd just like to make an observation for everybody to remember, and you and I discussed this earlier, is all of these bills, this public hearing we're in right now and other public hearings we have, as bills move forward and are worked, there's likely to be amendments. I do recall hearing that the auto dealers, you know, were trying to resolve the new vehicle, which I fully support, don't have a problem with that, and that there were concerns raised by others that if you mix new and used vehicles, that there might be a challenge or something when it went someplace else. And I would just remind the committee members that as other amendments come forward, this bill could come out with two or three or less or something on it. So we might want to approach it as a holistic when we get farther along, just as example as if you're going to add or subtract something, why we at least don't discuss, as was Rush mentioned, the prescription drug issue, considering we, the state and the federal government, set these prices and they've just gone up. And now most insurers in Oregon, or most citizens in Oregon, are finding out they're having to pay more for drugs because the deductibles and so on and so forth, along with the cost, has gone up, which hurts the poorest. The sort of my point, Madam Chair, is that this and other bills will have a final form, and then when we get to the final form, as taxpayer folks just mentioned, it might not look the same way as we go forward. So I look forward to those discussions and the rationales of at least those of us who are around of why we didn't, for example, do prescription drugs. And I do, as Mr. Perry said, recall some pretty serious discussion about the used vehicle issue, which I'll have to brush up on. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And thank you for that. That's a good point. All of the bills we consider, or any other committee, are always works in progress. And the important thing is with the technological challenges we have, it's all the more important to move forward transparently so everyone can see what we're doing. Okay, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 164. And Chris, do we have any bill introductions?
We do not, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you, committee and witnesses. This completes the work of our committee, and we are adjourned.